David Clark's office at the MIT campus is at the top of a tower that looks like a twisted aluminum column. The name on his door reads Albus Dumbledore, and like the wizard from Harry Potter, Clark knows the internet's secrets from the beginning.
We clearly couldn't anticipate how big it was going to be. Whenever I go back and read things that I wrote or others in the group wrote about planning for the future, we consistently underestimated what was going to happen.
In 1975, Clark was building part of the internet at MIT. Others around the country were working on other parts. The goal was to get the parts working together.
We had these meetings, we called them bake-offs. And we would each come in and try to run our code and see if we could get it to work with each other.
We all know what happened. They eventually succeeded. The internet was born, Clark says, in 1983. 32 years later, he thinks the internet is still in a teenage phase. Looking back, Clark wonders if he and other founders should have come up with guidelines on how the internet should grow up.
Not constraints, not rules, but like guidance, advice, like, you know, don't be stupid.
Clark thinks the internet has fallen in with a bad crowd. Most people now go online through one of its corporate friends, like Google, Facebook, and Apple. And those companies use information about our daily lives to sell us things. Clark says he and others built the internet so no one would need a gatekeeper. It was supposed to be an idealistic society of equals, where every user had the same amount of power.
One of the most exhilarating observations of the first decade and a half or two of the public internet was that things that were impossible became possible.
When Yochai Bankler started studying the internet in the early 1990s, he was thrilled by how it overturned old power structures like broadcast media. On the internet, anyone could send an email or post a video without asking permission. At the time, Bankler was studying property law as a student at Harvard.
I was working on the Homestead Act of 1862. No, seriously.
Bankler realized the internet was like a new Louisiana Purchase, a huge space for adventurous homesteaders to stake a claim. So we switched tracks. Using the Homestead Act as a guide, Bankler helped create a legal framework that protected the internet from being gobbled up and claimed by corporations. And then smartphones came along, and Steve Jobs created the iPhone.
I think there's very little doubt that Steve Jobs, in particular, was someone who had a vision of a more controlled experience that viewed consumers as people who needed a well-controlled, well-structured environment in order to thrive in. That was part of his genius, and that was part of his threat.
Bankler is surprised at how much privacy people are willing to give up by using smartphones with apps, apps that collect information and use it to nudge people to do things.
I might not have chosen to buy this set of things, go to this set of events, look in on this set of news media, but nonetheless, that's the direction that I ended up being nudged in from these day-by-day interactions that I never even noticed, but that I look at 6 months from now, and this is the new me. And the new me is partly me, but it's partly also what these companies wanted for me. That I see as a real threat.
Bankler wants people to guard against that threat by being vigilant and critical. He says they need to log in as multiple users, browse the web privately, and use free open source software like Firefox. Clark suggests the public fund a new group of web designers, like the group who built the internet, but this time to develop software that doesn't collect data.
There's been a cohort of people that have sort of grown up with the internet. And as we retire and move away or go into other activities, and we know that we're getting older, we have to sort of wonder what the values of the younger people are who are now taking over the internet.
Regardless of all his fears, Clark's hopeful for the future those young people will create. The internet is growing up, he says, and in the end, he has to let it. Rupa Shenoy, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.